Well, grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On behalf of the staff, session, and members, I'd like to welcome you to Cook's Church. We're delighted that you're here with us to celebrate the Lord in spirit and in truth, to worship Him in that way as well. As always, I have a few announcements before we get started. Mother's Day is coming up on May the 14th, and the Cook's Worship Ministry would like to share pictures of your mother to be shown on that special Sunday. To help us with this, please email or text a picture of the mothers in your life to Denise Veed. Her name and email is listed in the bulletin. You, your mother, your grandmothers, your kids with you, any mother pictures. Pictures together with your mom are separate. If you only have hard copies of pictures, those can be scanned and returned to you. We'll be putting them in a slideshow for the service on Mother's Day. Pictures are needed no later than this coming Wednesday, May the 10th, but the earlier the better. Thank you for your help. Please just try to get those pictures sent off to Denise or given to Denise today or tomorrow so that we can get that. It'll be a surefire fun thing for us to look at all those pictures of our moms on Mother's Day. Great stories of the Old Testament meets tonight, except it's great stories of the New Testament now. Not that we're switching over entirely, but we're going to do some from the New Testament. So tonight we're going to do 1 Peter. So please join us tonight as 1 and 2 Peter, I should say. So join us tonight at 6 o'clock in the Ed Building. Today also, our Presbyterian women will celebrate their birthday with an ice cream social at 2 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. All ladies are invited to attend. Please see Petey Self this morning with any questions. This Tuesday, May 9th, the Women's Circle meetings will meet. The Morning Circle will meet at 10:30 a.m. in the Fellowship Hall, and the Evening Circle will meet at 7 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. And again, all ladies are invited to attend. This Thursday, May 11th, everyone is invited to join us for our community meal. Dinner is served from 5 to 6:30 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall, and this month's menu will be pork loin, rice and gravy, green beans, and dessert. So please join us for a delicious meal. And great fellowship. And last but not least, next Sunday, May 21st, Cook's, that's not next Sunday, that's two Sundays from now. Cook's Men of the Church will host their monthly breakfast meeting at 7:30 a.m., and all men are invited. That's a little confusing. That's May 21st, so that's 2 weeks away. Please make note of future events noted in the bulletin today. Those are the announcements that I have. Are there any announcements that need to be brought before the congregation at this time? That being the case, let us open our hearts and minds to the worship of the Lord.
The Lord is King. Let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake. Mighty King, lover of justice, you have established equity, you have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob.
Exalt the Lord our God, worship at his footstool, holy is he.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, O God of all creation, become for us once again the solid foundation upon which we build our daily lives. We gather before you this first day of the week to align our lives with the strong teaching and life of Jesus Christ, our cornerstone. Receive our praise and our thanksgiving as expressions of faith and love. We come to you, O Lord, as people who desire to learn and serve like Christ. We are ready to receive your blessing and direction today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. As many of you know, Clayton and I will be in Kershaw, South Carolina this week, performing works of ministry in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for the prisoners at the Kershaw Correctional Institution. We go to bring the word to God of God into a place that is dark and with a lot of sadness and despair. We always are amazed by the light of Jesus Christ, which shines so brightly even in that darkness. And we ask for prayers in this coming week for us and for the work that we'll be doing, as well as for the men that we'll be with. So please be praying for us, and I'm going to pray for us this morning as we prepare to go. Gracious and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, your word tells us to make disciples of all the nations, and your word tells us to go, to be fearless and to go wherever you would point us. And Heavenly Father, we thank you that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you've directed us to a place, the Kershaw Correctional Institution. Mm-hmm. Now, gracious God, we just ask that you fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit, equipping us with every necessary spiritual gift, that we might serve you and your will perfectly as we share your good news with the prisoners there. Heavenly Father, be with all the members of the team, be with all the members of the community that will be joining us. Be with us all and waken us to the great good news that you reveal in the Bible, that Jesus Christ is come, that he has lived and died and has been resurrected for us and for our salvation. Never let us wander from that glorious truth as we perform these works of service in your holy and everlasting name. We make these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
After the resurrection, Jesus Christ came to the disciples, showing them his hands and his side. He said to them, "Peace be with you." Soon thereafter, he said to the same gathered apostles and disciples, "As the Father sent me, so now I send you." As a celebration of that sending, let us now pass the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ to the glory of God.
For the preschool, yeah, it was packed. It was full.
Wings and all.
Yeah, it was. It was. It was really cool. Yeah. Yeah, they did four songs on a, you know, a CD track. Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome.
I got to go back and watch.
You should. That was impressive. Yes, you are. Okay. There's the
I needed to hear that when I opened the hymnal right to that page. Never happens. Well, we come together now to confess our sins, and we do so because the Bible suggests that confession of the sins is good for indeed for our soul. In fact, 1 John teaches us that if we say that we have no sin, that the truth is not in us, that we deceive ourselves. But that if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of any and all unrighteousness. So in humility and in faith, let us put our voices together, saying and sharing our prayer of confession found in this morning's bulletin. Join me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we lower our heads before you, and we confess that we have too often forgotten that we are yours. Sometimes we carry on our lives as if there was no God, and we fall short of being a credible witness to you. For these things we ask your forgiveness, and we also ask for your strength. Give us clear minds and open hearts so we may witness to you in our world. Remind us to be who you would have us to be. regardless of what we are doing or who we are with. Hold us to you and build our relationship with you and with those you have given us on earth. Amen. Friends, I declare to you this wonderful truth, that by the waters of our baptisms, we're assured of an eternal promise, one that can never be taken from us, that Jesus Christ has come, lived, and died for us and for our salvation, and that he has washed us of our sins so that we might dwell in eternity forever. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven forever and ever. Amen. The Christian faith is an ancient one, one that, which has seen us a collection of creeds and confessions that continue to provide us guidance on what it is we believe. This morning, as most mornings, we confess our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Those words are printed in this morning's bulletin. I invite you to join along with me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated and join me in the singing of hymn number 65.
My Lord.
We now invite the kids to come forward for a time that's just with them, for them.
The month of May, we're doing a series of Jewish songs because the Messiah was Jewish, and Jewish music is very powerful. It's in minor keys, so you can kind of get that feel, but the words are very passionate. It's both a prayer and it's a praise. So this particular one is called "The Battle Belongs to the Lord."
Oh,
We come now into a time of reading and proclaiming the word, and we do so, as always, by beginning with the prayer for illumination. Join me as we pray. Almighty God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, move. Move and stir within us so that we might hear this reading and proclaiming of your word with different ears. Ears that are inclined to follow your way, to trust your word, and to look for you for the abundant and eternal life. We make these prayers to you in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. So today's Old Testament scripture reading is from Psalm 31, verses 1 to 5 and 15 to 16, which can be found on page 548 of the Pew Bible. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me. You take me out of the net they have hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. Make your face shine on your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament reading comes to us from the Gospel of John. This is before the crucifixion, and it's in the upper room, if we can imagine it in our hearts and minds. So hear now this word of our Lord. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these he will do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. One of the things which dogs my life sometimes is anxiety. If I let my mind wander, it's amazing how fast it can go into worry mode if I'm honest about things. I'll be going right along and then boom, all of a sudden, something in my mind will fixate. Take, for example, the other day in worship when we had the children here singing from the play school. Everybody else was imagining and having a good time watching the kids. I was unfortunately fixated on one little kid who was right here and seemed to be eyeing the flame of the lamp a little too closely. I just couldn't get my mind off of it. It's like when something like that happens, the next thing you know, whatever it is I'm locked in on becomes overwhelming. Presently, my great and recurring worry is that my kids will be learning to drive in the next couple of years. And I think that along with most parents, that scares the heck out of me. That stuff happens to me, and I don't think you could make the case that I have an anxiety disorder. Rather, my mind is just prone to worry, I think. But as a society, we're becoming more and more anxious with each passing year. The data doesn't lie. In 2021, for example, we saw a 25% rise in anxiety rates here in America. That's in a way, understandable. The 2020 was the first year, really, of COVID, and we can imagine that that had a tremendous impact on the anxiety rates. But that large spike may make us overlook the steady increases that we've been seeing through the last several decades. For reasons which are debatable, one thing remains clear. Anxiety is on the rise here in the United States. Some might argue that the rise in anxiety has a secular cause or something that we can know, maybe that the internet or some other facet of modern life is just upsetting the apple cart in ways we don't yet understand. I think the culprit is much easier to find. Isn't it interesting that in the same years that we've seen an increase in anxiety rates, we've seen decreases in the number of people reporting faith as a steady component in their lives? That is to say that as we've seen the largest rise in anxiety rates, we've also seen a decrease in the number of Christian adherents. Those two are too conspicuous not to link. Faith is oftentimes a wonderful antidote to anxiety problems, which is exactly what Jesus Christ draws our attention to at the beginning of this passage from the Gospel of John. It's a passage we most often read at funerals, what with all its talk of many rooms in the Father's house. But in reality, John 14 is actually good advice for the living. Jesus speaks these words to what's likely to have been a rattled group of disciples and apostles. They're worried because of what Jesus Christ has just announced, that soon he'll be gone. On top of that, they're sure to be distressed about their behavior at dinner. Do y'all recollect what the apostles and disciples were doing that night in the upper room as Jesus Christ talked? They were bickering and arguing about who would be the greatest in heaven. So you can imagine that they were a little rattled to begin with as they continued to listen to Jesus Christ. Not only that, these men and women were also aware of what happened to followers of failed messiahs. As I've told you, seven times before in Jerusalem, somebody had came and claimed to be the one. But seven times before, those men, as well as all of their followers, found themselves hanging from Roman crosses, dead. So Jesus, thus far, had been a wonderful thing. They had seen miracles and performed some themselves. But now, things were getting serious, and Jesus himself was talking about being gone. It was sure to have been an anxious time for everyone involved. That's why Jesus' words here are so important for us to hear. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus speaks a word of comfort into the anxious hearts of all his gathered apostles and disciples. He also issues them a command, but the rendering of that command into English misses a certain nuance. You see, the grammar of that passage in the Greek has this set up as a fulfilled conditional. It really ought to read, "Because you believe in God, you will also believe in me." That is to say that the first part of the sentence makes the second part assumed. It means that because the apostles and disciples believe in God, they will also believe in Jesus Christ. Which is, of course, one of the reasons why our anxieties about eternity ought to come way down. As I've said before, what the Bible teaches us is that Jesus chooses us, not the other way around. While it may feel like we're the ones doing the deciding, what the Bible puts forward is that we choose God because God first chose us. Before the foundations of the earth, that's what we read in Ephesians. And I don't know about you, but I sure wasn't here at that point, so I think it's fair to say that Jesus picked me long before I had the capacity even to pick him. That is to say, we don't fear our eternal hereafters because of what God in Christ has done for us. And Jesus Christ even goes on to assure us that there will be many rooms or mansions in his Father's house. I say mansions here because the King James Version puts that as mansions. The King James Version can be very confusing, what with its use of older English, but sometimes it just sings, and this is certainly one of those occasions where there aren't just many rooms in the Father's house, but many mansions. What Jesus Christ is telling his apostles is that they have nothing to fear in this life or in the life to come. Jesus' words of comfort only match what the Bible habitually says. Well over 365 times in the Word, we're told not to fear. I read you just a sampling of scriptures telling us that same message. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold for my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And finally, from Luke 12, the 7th verse. Indeed, the very hairs on your head are numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I could keep going. For the rest of this service, honestly, I could keep going and simply read scriptures that tell us not to fear and to find our calm strength in the Lord, no matter what storms of life come our way. The Bible, therefore, goes out of its way to provide ample ammunition against anxiety for people with faith. But what does it mean to have faith? Jesus Christ himself is going to tell us more about that as the passage moves forward. He tells us that he himself is the way, the truth, and the life, adding that no one comes to the Father except through him. And again, this is a section where the translation doesn't really reveal all that the text is telling us here. Here again, there is embedded in the language the assumption that you know that Jesus is the way and the life and the truth, and that you already know that because you're following him. That is to say that this isn't a scripture that we should go out and beat people over the head with. Rather, it's meant in the same vein as the rest of this material, as a comfort to us in times of distress. What Jesus Christ tells us, though, is that he is the way, the truth, and the life. I remember being younger and trying to figure out this thing called life and overhearing someone once say that you could tell a lot about a person by the way they walked. I took that literally as a young kid. It was probably meant figuratively. So I began to be very focused on how I walked. How was I going to walk, right? I'm sure it was comical, really. Like, literally, I wanted to practice walking the Jason Bryant way, if you could imagine. I wanted my way to be unique and convey something about me that people could not ignore. How I thought they would do that, by the way, I walked is pretty comical now as I look back on it, but hey, I was young, right? But the truth of the matter is that at parts of my life, I have tried to walk my own path, one unencumbered by faith with the Lord, and it hasn't always worked out so well for me. But I think we all do that on occasion, don't we? At some times in our life, our faith is our guiding star and we're following Jesus all the way. But on other occasions, we rebel. We cut our own path in this life. And if your history is anything like my own, good things don't always happen, at least not the way we expect them to. But Jesus assures us that he is the way. And what does he mean by that? Well, he means that we ought to model our lives after him and not try to cut our own path in the world. But what does it mean to be like Jesus? Well, to begin with, it means being humble. Is there any word our society likes more than pride, I wonder? I mean, it's plastered everywhere at times during the year. What's interesting to note is how much pride is excoriated in the word. But Jesus' way is the path of humility. After all, he didn't have to come and take flesh. And even if he did, he could have come as a king or a conquering hero. He didn't. Jesus came in an unassuming form to peasant parents, was raised without ceremony and ostentation. Then, when the time was right, he took on himself the sin of the world for us and for our salvation, all very humble things. Not only was Jesus humble, he was also dedicated to his Father. In fact, Jesus was so perfectly faithful to God. His substitutionary righteousness is the means by which we claim our salvation. That is to say, it is because of Jesus' faithfulness to God that humanity's burden has been lifted. We can't be perfectly faithful to God, and now, because of what Jesus Christ has done, we don't have to be. Yes, Jesus was humble and faithful. Those are the ways that we will follow when following the way of Jesus Christ. What is the way of Jesus? Hear these words of Scripture to get closer to the meaning. Psalm 1, 5 and 6. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. Proverbs 15:10. There is severe discipline for him who forsakes the way. Whoever hates reproof will die. But one of the surest fire ways that we can know that we're following the way is that we find ourselves in the Word. Why? Because Jesus tells us it's the truth. Jesus Christ is the Word of God, and the Word of God in Scripture points exclusively toward him. Thus, we find in the Scriptures truth. I think this is the hardest part of being a Christian these days, affirming the truthfulness of the Word. First, let's get one thing out of the way. The Bible isn't a science book, isn't supposed to be read that way. Rather, the Bible presents God's truth in a way that we can understand. The Bible provides for us in a manner that we can find useful, helpful at times in our lives when things are difficult. The Bible presents God's truth to us, and it is a truth that brooks no compromise. Nowhere in the Word does it ever say something to the effect of, and should you not like any part of this, feel free to change it to your liking. Believe me, folks, I've looked for that verse in the Bible every time I've read it and never come across it because it isn't there. In fact, what is there suggests the opposite when it comes to the Word. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heaven. Forever, the Lord's word is firmly fixed in heaven. And it is truth, God's truth, which makes it truth with a capital T. I know such talk of the Bible can be a little alarming. After all, you may have heard it said that there's some crazy stuff in there, mean-spirited stuff. I encourage you to read the Bible for yourself to see. It's all understandable in context, and there's nothing horrible in there. There's certainly nothing in there that, were you to accept it as truth, that would all of a sudden make you a mean person or someone out to hate others. In fact, it should have the opposite effect. Reading the Bible should make you more like Jesus, humble and faithful, and more importantly, loving to everyone. What the Bible shows us clearly is that we ourselves are sinners who habitually fall short of the glory of God. But thankfully, it goes on to tell us that we are yet loved by an omnipotent, grace-filled God. But because we ourselves aren't perfect, we don't expect others to be. Thus, when we see people sin, our inclination isn't to condemn, but rather to pray. Did y'all get that? Our first inclination isn't to condemn, but rather to pray for the people that we find and believe are out of whack with God's will. That's because, as Christians, we're to recognize that we're all out of whack with God, but that God, in his loving kindness, has chosen to love us nonetheless. And that's good news. But Jesus saves the best part for last, doesn't he? He tells us, I am the life. This life has two dimensions, the finite and the eternal. What do I mean by that? Well, in one sense, our lives are limited, finite. Because of sin, there is a day where every one of us here will die. What Jesus suggests is in this limited time that he is the way to find life and life abundantly. Earlier in John, Jesus tells us that. In John 10:10, we read, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Abundant life is a life filled with joy and contentment. I know so many people enjoying this abundant right now, and they're all great Christians. I see the smile on their faces. I've witnessed the grit which emerges in tough time. I've seen the capabilities of these people, and they're extraordinary. And I'm convinced these aren't superhumans. They are instead Christians who are experiencing the abundant life Jesus talks about by the power of the Holy Spirit. One parishioner really stands out. She was from a former congregation, so I don't think she's known here. Her story, though, is an inspiring one. One day, very suddenly, this woman's husband died. It was entirely unexpected, and as you can imagine, this woman was devastated. When her grief became unbearable, she found a program called Grief Share. Grief Share is a Christian support group for those people who've lost loved ones. Well, during her time in Grief Share, Nancy felt a calling from the Lord to help others. So she came to me and suggested that we start a Grief Share group at the church that I was serving. At first, I was a little reluctant. After all, I didn't feel I knew that much about grief counseling, despite my profession. But Nancy was adamant, so I couldn't help but go along. The next thing you know, we've got several Grief Share groups going. Those were to be a godsend for me. For soon after starting Grief Share, my life was touched by loss as my sister died very suddenly. It was in Grief Share where I started putting the pieces of the puzzle back together again, so to speak. During the course of her work with Grief Share, Nancy has made many friends and positively affected so many lives. She is truly a great example of someone leading an abundant life in Jesus Christ. But it isn't just that we're called to lead abundant lives here. There is also an eternal dimension to our lives that we should never overlook. Jesus tells us that there are many rooms in his Father's house as a reminder of what awaits us in the undiscovered country beyond our graves. There is eternal life yet to come for the faithful. I once heard someone say they wouldn't want eternal life, that it would be boring. Oh, how small-minded people can be. Eternal life, in which we aren't beset by sin, is going to be glorious and wonderful, and I guarantee, never boring. What makes me so sure? Because God is infinite. That means there will always be something more to learn about God. So eternal life will never be dull or boring, but will instead sparkle with joy and contentment, peace and love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer in which we lift up to the Lord the prayers that lay on our hearts. Let us pray. Wonderful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our souls thirst for you like we thirst for water, gracious God, and you alone are that living water which parches our thirst and fills us, body, mind, and soul. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your word we can find comfort from all that this world ails us with. Father God, we thank you for this community of believers who comes together to worship you so that we might find within her membership the very voices that will comfort us in times of loss. Gracious God, be with this congregation, allowing us to speak freely of Jesus with this world, so that all knees may bow and every voice may praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Gracious God, we know that this is still a world broken by sin, and as such, we have the concomitant things which follow, things like misery and sickness and death. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray. Pray for you to end misery and knowing that you will one day end suffering and death. Gracious God, we pray, O Lord, for this world, that where you find hostilities, that you may bring peace. Heavenly Father, we pray for this community, that where you find need, that you would also supply, Father God. We pray for this church, just asking that you watch over us and guide us as we seek to share your name with the world here in West Charlotte. Gracious God, we pray for those who are sick or grieving or lonely or anxious, remembering today especially the family of Kathy Thompson as they mourn her passing. We pray for Pat Hager. We pray for Annie Lucky. We pray for Betsy Boone. We pray for Tom McClure. We pray for Jill Griffin, and we pray for Dennis Abernathy, as well as all the names that are on our prayer list. We make all of these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was him who taught us to pray in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, having heard the word read and proclaimed, and having made our prayers of intercession and supplication, it's right and fitting that we turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings, remembering that God loves a cheerful giver. Let us pray. Father God, you are indeed a provident God, providing richly everything that we need. Heavenly Father, now as we return a portion of those blessings that you showered so abundantly upon us back to you, we pray that you use this offering to commit your will and your work in this your world. We make these prayers to you in the strong name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Amen. Jesus Christ claims himself to be the way, the truth, and the life. And in him we find everything necessary to quell or calm our rising anxieties. For in him we feel this truth of God's promise that he'll never leave us or forsake us, that we'll always be with Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that everything that happens to us will be for the good according to the word. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.